Thanks to donors like you, Aquinas 101 is setting the world aflame with the truth, but the next season can't be filmed without your help. Dozens of new episodes are planned, but they'll only be brought to life if you make them possible. Your gift by October 31st will bring the truth to students, families, and people around the world. Please use the link in the episode description below to give today.
Welcome to the Thomistic Institute podcast. Our mission is to promote the Catholic intellectual tradition in the university, the church, and the wider public square. The lectures on this podcast are organized by university students at Thomistic Institute chapters around the world. To learn more and to attend these events, visit us at ThomisticInstitute.org.
Wisdom. The very word speaks to something deep within your being. When you just hear the word wisdom, you have this sense of something that you're made for. And that's true. It's amazing how beautiful human nature is. It is designed for the greatest things. It will only be fulfilled in the greatest things. And if we but place before our eyes or have brought before our eyes, it will speak to us and we will want to pursue it. Professor Hochschild and I are tasked with reflecting on Thomistic wisdom for the pilgrimage. Let me tell you right away the takeaway. My father taught me, tell them what you're going to say, say it, and then tell them what you said. I don't always do that. But in any case, here is the takeaway. It is the Thomistic wisdom for the pilgrimage that I want you to have. Cleave to the final end and make that cleaving active in all that you do. Cleave to the final end and make that cleaving active in all that you do, period. Be like St. Chad, according to St. Venerable Bede, which is quotation number one. Read this years ago. It's at the top several of my favorite quotations. It says everything in my mind that you would want to be able to be said about you at the end of your life. He was so mindful of his last end in all that he did. He was so mindful of his last end in all that he did. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Thomistic wisdom for the pilgrimage. Let's try to do that. Remember, the wiser we become, the more we're able to see and the more we're able to say in very simple statements. The more wise one becomes, really, the more simpler reality becomes. It really is, in a profound sense, that simple. Know your end, seek your end, cleave to your end, which means you're going to go for it, will it, and we'll unfold that a little bit, in such a way that you will carry it with you. It will affect and be present in absolutely everything that you do. St. Catherine of Siena once said, all the way to heaven is heaven because our Lord said, I am the way. Isn't that an astounding quotation? All the way to heaven is heaven because our Lord said, I am the way. The way to wisdom is just that. It is a way of wisdom. Wisdom is the way. Wisdom is the end. It's always about wisdom. So in a sense, I'm tasked with sharing some wisdom about attaining wisdom. Sapientis est ordinare.
You don't have to study Latin. It's nice. It's nice you can do with Latin what at this point in my life I've had to do with Greek. You just try to grab a few things and take it with you, and maybe one day I'll have occasion to study it. It is of the wise man to order. There's something so beautiful how that is. St. Thomas loves to refer to this line from Aristotle, from the Metaphysics. It is of the wise man. Sometimes it's in English, they say it's the task of the wise man. In the Latin, it's just the genitive case. It is of the wise man to order. It's always about order. Order is the hallmark of being. There's even order in God himself. St. Thomas has a lovely article on that in the Summa. And it's precisely the order of the universe, St. Thomas says, that most reflects God's perfection. So it's always about order. Wisdom is always about order. No wonder, by the way, that St. Augustine says in one of those definitions that you would trade everything you have for, peace is the tranquility of order. Get certain lines when you hear them, you just have this sense of, if that isn't true, I don't know what is. Peace is the tranquility of order. And this is a throbbing tranquility, one that is bursting with life. It's very peaceful. So mystic wisdom is always about order. Most of all, order to the end. So wisdom for our pilgrimage then will be about order to our end. To illustrate this, I want to use a very striking image that St. Thomas gives. This is in the first part of the second part. It's your second quotation on the handout. He's introducing the three evangelical counsels, which are very important to him. He has vowed to live by these three counsels, all in their fullness. All of us are called to live poverty, chastity, and obedience according to our state in life. The religious state, you vow and you live them in their fullness. But listen to this amazing image, very, very dramatic. Number two. Now man is placed between the things of this world and spiritual goods, wherein eternal happiness consists. He's placed between them. So that the more he cleaves to the one, the more he withdraws from the other. And conversely, wherefore, he that cleaves wholly to things of this world so as to make them his end and to look upon them as the reason and rule of all he does falls away altogether from spiritual goods. Again, what an amazing image. You, man, you have been placed by God between two things. One is spiritual goods and one is material goods. And note how the image works. Necessarily to turn more towards one, you are in some sense turning away from the other. Now I know that makes you a little bit nervous, that has to be unfolded a little bit. Are you like serious? Does this really mean then that I have to leave material goods behind if I'm gonna turn towards what really matters? This is serious stuff. We better get that straight. In some sense, the answer is yes. In some sense, the answer is no. And we better figure out in what sense it's so. Because certainly he gives the negative side and he uses the verb that I want to be our verb for the day, cleaving. If you cleave to material, temporal, worldly things, you're going to lose. You're going to lose the spiritual goods. This fits very much with another very important quotation from him. I'm in quotation number three. And this is where in the Treatise on Happiness, he asks whether a man can have several last ends. This is right in the on the contrary. He just gives you kind of the answer right up front. On the contrary, that in which a man rests as in his last end is master, dominus, Lord, of his affections, since he takes therefrom his entire rule of life. Hence, again, now he goes to the negative. He's going to illustrate this on the negative side. Hence of gluttons, it is written, whose God is their belly, viz., namely, because they place their last end in the pleasures of the belly. Now, according to Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. such namely as not one ordained to another. Therefore, it's impossible for one man to have several last ends. Note the similar formula, ladies and gentlemen, in each of our texts about how what you take as your last end functions in your life. One of the texts said it's master of your affections. Other great line here, reason and rule. That's in the first quotation. And then the next one, he takes therefrom his entire rule of life. So again, consider, we have two poles in life set up here. Cleaving to spiritual goods so completely as to take one's whole rule of life from them. I want you to start to try to imagine that, what this reality is of cleaving to spiritual goods, cleaving to your true last end, cleaving to higher things in such a way that it gives you the rule, the measure, the motivation for absolutely everything that you ever voluntarily do. On the other hand, the other pole that we have is cleaving to things of this world so as to take one's rule of life from them. I try to scare you a little bit here. I think it's a little easy for us when we hear like St. Paul referring to someone whose God is their belly. We kind of think, oh, whew, thank goodness I'm not like that. Thank goodness that I don't kind of take the rule of how I act from lower things. It's always, always good to try to grow in self-knowledge and to reflect on exactly where am I. In any case here, we have this powerful image. You and I are placed between two competing goods. I suggest we're probably not at either pole. Big question for you for the day is, where are you? Where are you? Because there is a bit of space in between. So again, I come back to the question, does it mean that we're going to have to more or less abandon things of the world? Is it that dramatic? Can't we kind of, sort of love things of this world? You know, as long as we don't let things get out of hand, as long as we don't let it get in the way of our love of spiritual things, well, the answer, of course, is yes, if we understand it and do it right. There's a precise answer, and that answer is a remarkable instance of Thomistic wisdom for our pilgrimage to God. It makes all the difference for human happiness. Let's keep asking ourselves, what gives rule and measure to our actions? What gives things significance in our eyes? If you're enjoying a good meal, in some sense, I do ask you, why are you enjoying it? Why was that worthwhile? What gives things significance in our eyes? Spiritual goods, St. Thomas is suggesting here, or love of God, we could use that here somewhat interchangeably, should be the rule and measure of how we act, of all we choose, period. Any turning to worldly goods that does not spring from, is not given measure by our desire for spiritual things is going to work against our desire for spiritual things. But otherwise, this is also very Augustinian, the goal is that true love of God, the end, be the source and be the end of all our other loves. Ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to picture this. I'm saying this, well, okay, you think, oh, okay, that makes sense. Of course, I'm going to push you. It makes all the difference. It has big practical import. It's hard for us to picture it. It's hard for us to think about it. It's even harder for us to do. But we have to try. I return to my opening formulation. Cleave to the final end and make it active in all that we do. The more we really cleave to spiritual goods, the more they will be the rule in measure of all that we do, giving real order and thus peace in our life. By the way, Dr. Free talked about to what are we giving attention? You might say it will be the source of any attention that we actually want to give will be ultimately because of our love for and our cleaving to the ultimate end. The more we cleave to that end, the more everything else we do in our life is going to come alive. Very quickly, doesn't this remind you of Genesis 30, quotation number 4 in the handout? I'm not going to read the whole thing here of Moses. See, I have set before you this day life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments, his statutes, his ordinances, then you shall live and multiply. I mean, just think, coming alive. You're going to be what you were designed to be. Jumping out a little bit. I declare to you this day that you shall perish. You shall not live in the land which you are going over to the Jordan to possess if your heart turns away. I should have read it, but if your heart turns away, right? I go on. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life. This is the richest, fullest sense of that term. Choose life. That you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and cleaving to him. For that means life to you and length of days. I come back finally again to our two poles. The reality is, again, there's a lot of space in the middle. Where are we? St. Thomas, we just heard him say, everyone ultimately has just one, and is living for one ultimate end. It probably is the case, given that we're here together at this conference. It's probably true that everyone in the room is heading towards, is willing, is intending the true ultimate end. It might almost seem then, well, if that is what my ultimate end is, then didn't St. Thomas say that will be the master of my affections, it will be the rule of everything. But we have to be subtle here. Again, there's this gray area where St. Thomas is well aware there's a lot of inconsistency in us. Do we really cleave to the end? Do we really act rationally and really treat it as though it is the ultimate end and the reason for everything? So I simply invite you, as we're on our pilgrimage, do we look left and right and kind of fall off? That's one way St. Thomas describes venial sin. It's as it were, just going to the left, going to the right. It's not really acting in view consistently of your ultimate ends that should dominate our affections. So what can we do? Think clearly, pray specifically, and act. This that I tried to bring before our eyes here very briefly is worth our ongoing reflection. I invite you to remember those two poles. Keep asking yourself where you are. Pray specifically. Quotation number 5, St. Thomas is after communion prayer. You want to know what's on a man's heart? Look at what he prays after communion. This is St. Thomas's famous after communion prayer. Check out these lines. Sit in te uno ac vero Deo firma adhesio. May this holy communion bring about that I firmly adhere, yea, a great translation of adhesio is cleave. May this holy communion bring about that I firmly cleave to you, the one and true God. May we make this the object of our prayer. I close by giving you a master of Thomistic wisdom, Blessed Columba Marmion. Here, just feel the joy of the ordered life of what he lays out right here. In this happy state, and this is just someone who has been sanctified and is living the risen life of Christ. This isn't heaven he's talking about here. In this happy state, the soul's not only free from all sin, functionally speaking, but she no longer acts save under the inspiration of grace and for her supernatural motive. And when the supernatural motive extends to all her actions,
When the soul, by a movement of love, habitual and steadfast, refers all to God, to the glory of Christ and that of his Father, then there is within her the plenitude of life. That is holiness. He lives for God. Thank you for your attention.
Thanks for listening to this lecture on the Thomistic Institute podcast. The generosity of people like you makes this podcast possible. If you enjoy these talks, please consider showing your support at www.thomisticinstitute.org/donate. Your donation of even a dollar helps us reach more college students and many others with the powerful truths of the faith, and it ensures that we can keep publishing top-notch lectures on this podcast. Thanks a lot.